Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Welcome to the readings for this Sunday, which is the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And also, because it is Sunday, the Sunday readings are the main ones. They are the ones that we use. But this is also this Sunday, October 4th, is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. Brothers and sisters, the readings for this particular Sunday are readings that have a great deal to do with marriage. And marriage is under great attack today. I'm not going to elaborate on that. You all know it. Marriage is under great attack. But if we read the book of Genesis, it's very clear God made us in his image and likeness, male and female, he created them. God made us in his image and likeness, male and female, he created them. So we are made in the image and likeness of God. And when man and woman unite in the sacrament of marriage, they become in faith, but truly, in the power of that sacrament, they become one flesh reflecting Christ, reflecting God. It's what God intended, that their union become a reflection of what God created and why he created it, what it was created to be, that love and that union. And you all know today, and I'm not going to spend this program talking about all the difficulties that are going on today, but we need to look back at the book of Genesis and look clearly at what God said. I know that's very cursory and it deserves much, much more. I can't in this program, but I can say, take a look carefully at the words of Scripture. The first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. And when he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." I'm just going to let the words of Scripture stand. Ponder them. Psalm 128, may the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. May the Lord bless us. Look at the beauty of this. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. In the discussion of marriage today, how many people are speaking about children? How many are speaking about God's intention? How many are speaking about the need of children for a mother and a father to care for them and bring them to maturity? That's God's design. Do we think we have a better plan? Please pray please pray. Pray for all those on all different sides of these issues. Please pray. It's not the time so much for anger. This is the time for prayer. It's the time for loving those who see differently than we do. That God's plan, which brings infinite blessing, can be restored. The second reading for this Sunday is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Brothers and sisters, he who for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He was made lower than the angels. He who was the creator. Christ. Christ. The Son of the Father who came in our behalf. He who was greater than all the angels. He became subject. He became lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Jesus died for you, that you might live forever. Really, he died for you. Pope Benedict says it so often, if you were the only person on the face of the earth, God would have sent his son to die for you. That's how infinitely precious your life is. And you're going to live forever. So take a look at where you want to live forever. For it was fitting that he for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The Son of God calls us brothers and sisters. My goodness, have you pondered what that means? He calls us his own in his family. He is brother to us. He makes himself one of us that he might bring us safely home to his kingdom. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. And he said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" And they replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Brothers and sisters, the words of Scripture are clear. We have a synod on the family coming up in Rome. We need to pray that we can get clarity, that we can be obedient to the Lord, that we can find solutions for those who are in very difficult situations, that we can bring them the peace of God. May God give us wisdom. May he give us strength. May he give us hope. May he give us courage, that God's plan can be fulfilled, because therein lies peace. The church needs to look at this. Let us pray together that God's will be accomplished, because God's will. We need wisdom for discernment, to know, to be able to get clear here in how to put God's will into practice. That's where we need tremendous wisdom. In some very difficult, complicated situations, we need wisdom. Pray for it. Ask God to supply wisdom that in some ways we don't have. It will come from God if we seek him. And I urge you really to pray. Really to pray. There is a section in the gospel that can be omitted today, but I want to include it because it's another part of this whole area of marriage. And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." And then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands upon them. Brothers and sisters, I admit to many days of actually weeping over the last months as I read the newspaper and see what has happened to children, what has happened to the lives of so many children, the brutality exercised upon them, children being tortured and murdered. God is not pleased. And I don't want to see this nation have to bear the wrath of God. We need to really look in our marriages, in our extended families. How are our children being cared for? How are our children being taught? How are our children being disciplined in a good way? How are our children finding security and peace and trust and confidence in the midst of a good family? And what are we doing? What are we doing for our children when some of those stable things that should be in place are shaken? What are we doing for the children? Brothers and sisters, again I say, let us pray. Let us pray that God gives to our leaders, that God gives to us wisdom and insight, that we may turn back to God, and that our children may once again be raised in peace and harmony. Please, brothers and sisters, I ask you, take seriously what's going on. Take seriously the questions that are being asked, and pray. Come before God. I would encourage you, take time in your parish. Come before God and pray. Take time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and ask God to do for us what in our confusion and our mixed upness, we need help. Ask God to have mercy on us because we don't deserve it. We ourselves have walked away from the law in many ways. We don't deserve help. But when we come to the Lord repenting and asking for help, it will be given. And then when it is given, may we heed it and follow it. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very serious for the state of our country, for the health of our nation, and for its future. And I really want to ask you, pray as you have never prayed before. Take time. Please make it a priority within the family, within the parish. Pray that God may give us the wisdom we need. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.